This is All Things Considered on 91.9 FM WUOT. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Since the 1970s, the YWCA in downtown Knoxville has offered safe housing and a chance at a new life for thousands of women struggling with domestic abuse, addiction, homelessness, and a sobering array of other personal crises. Over the next 23 minutes, you'll hear from six different women. Each one called the downtown YWCA home while she attempted to rebuild her life. Because some of the women you'll hear could suffer harm if their real identities are revealed, all of them have chosen new names for themselves. One word of warning, their stories are personal, intimate, and in some cases contain graphic descriptions of the violence they've experienced. But theirs are also stories of redemption, rebirth, and hope.
My drug use, it was just so out of control. I lost everything. Everything.
He knocked me down and beat my head, and it seemed like for hours, but I'm sure it wasn't.
When women apply for housing here, the majority of them are scared. They're frail. Most of them have been victimized. Most of them have been victimized repetitively.
I was abused 7 times by 7 different predators before the age of 10.
When I got raped at gunpoint, all the cops could worry about was, what kind of gun was it?
I ended up living on the streets. I've slept in abandoned houses. I've been abused. I've had a lot of bad stuff happen to me.
These women come in, and they are on shaky ground. They don't have that confidence. You know, they sometimes they don't even make eye contact. Sometimes they don't even look up.
My self-esteem was that of maybe a squashed ant.
I turned to drugs and alcohol. I started drinking probably at the age of 10. And I graduated to crack cocaine at the age of 15.
I just got so sick and tired of it. I got to where I said, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I was smoking cocaine. I was sick of the shame.
I didn't even care if I bathed. I just cared about my next one. I just wanted to die.
My name is Andrea. Yeah, I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. Everybody loved me. I was the life of the party, you know, in the family, dancing, dressing up, whatever. Just had a good childhood in my beginning years until some problems arise later. I was abused 7 times by 7 different predators before the age of 10. Any authority or role model figure pretty much violated me as a child. I turned to drugs and alcohol. I started drinking probably at the age of 10, and I graduated to crack cocaine at the age of 15, and I left home.
My name is Marguerite, and I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Met this guy in my apartment building on the same floor. He kept leaving me notes on my door, wanting to meet me. So I finally, you know, got the guts to try this love game. Turned out he was abusing pain pills along with drinking. He got violent on me one weekend. He knocked me down and beat my head, and it seemed like for hours, but I'm sure it wasn't. And passed out for a little while. When I woke up, he just started getting real vile. Mouthy, it was horrible. And when I tried to defend myself verbally, then I ended up getting beat up again, choked, dragged against the rugs and wood. And so I didn't have much of a choice but to put up with it and hope that it would go away. And that went on for 2 days, basically, on a Saturday and a Sunday. Come Monday, I had to go to work, and he decided to go and get in his truck and go get a quart of beer. So I just, you know, got myself together, made sure I had my wallet, my keys, and went to work.
My name is Lynn. I grew up here in Knoxville, Tennessee. As I got older, my life had started changing, and my plans had started changing. I wanted to be a teacher. I really did. I wanted to teach the first grade. What I turned out to be, I never expected. I took a left turn instead of a right. I was about 22, around 22. Started hanging out with some different type of people, different than what I was accustomed to. Lively, worldly people. And that's just not how I was brought up. I thought they were fun. I thought it was fun. And my fun turned into destroying my life. My drug use, it was just so out of control. I lost everything. Everything. When they say I lost everything, believe them. I've lost home, jobs, cars, families, husbands. You know, didn't even care if I bathed, you know. I just cared about my next one. I just wanted to die.
My name is Christine. I was constantly teased and bullied when I was in school because I was overweight. Okay, and I was called everything from a hippopotamus to the Goodyear blimp. My self-esteem was that of maybe a squashed ant. I had no value as far as I was concerned. And when I got raped at gunpoint, all the cops could worry about was what kind of gun was it? Not the fact that I had been raped. At one point, my first husband had beat me so severely that they literally had to cut my eyelids open so that I could see because they were so swollen and black and blue. And I couldn't understand why it was he was telling me in one sentence he loved me and in the next beating me like that. I was pregnant with our daughter, and he came up behind me, hit me, and I went flying across the rug on my chin, laying it wide open, knowing I was pregnant and didn't care. He literally tried to beat the child out of me.
My name is Sarah. Basically, everyone in my family was on drugs or alcoholics, exclusion from my grandmother. That was the only sane person I could go visit with as a child. Just the mood swings, you know, sometimes physical violence or whatever. And, you know, just feeling really frustrated as a child, like I needed help to get out. And then whenever I started turning into a teenager, I started, you know, doing the same thing. I lived in a pretty bad neighborhood, and the children I hung out with, you know, everything was about partying or drinking. It's like, it was kind of an escape. So started getting in trouble early. And then I was just, you know, smoking some marijuana, drinking. And then whenever I started turning 17, I tripped on some acid, and I had snorted some cocaine. Basically, it seemed normal to me just from where I grew up. I ended up living on the streets. I've slept in abandoned houses. I've been abused. I've had a lot of bad stuff happen to me. And I just got so sick and tired of it. I got to where I said, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. And I just decided that I was sick of the shame and humiliation that went with that. And I just wanted to stop, but I didn't have anywhere to go.
The hallways here are quiet, because most of these women are working.
My name is Annette Beebe. I am the Transitional Housing Program Director.
There's words on these walls.
This building was specifically built for women in 1925, for women that were coming in from the country. They wanted to come to the city. And it, at that time, it wasn't appropriate for women to live out on their own. So they needed a safe environment for them to come. And so the YWCA built this building for that purpose. At that time, they were teaching women how to answer phones, take dictation, type. So that's how the YWCA originally started. But again, it was to empower women.
My rock bottom for me in my life was I was getting released out of jail here in Knox County, and I was getting on the paddy wagon here downtown. I had lost my children, my home. I had nothing but the clothes on my back. And I don't know what prompted me to ask the girls walking with me that were also getting released what day it was. And it was a Friday, and there was a meeting at St. John's right here. And there was a 12-step meeting. And I said, I'm going. And I just walked up and said, I don't know what to do. And I became willing that day to do whatever was suggested and to change my life. I was tired of living like this. I had lost everything. I beat myself up enough.
When women get the key to their room, it represents so much to them. It represents safety. It represents choice, freedom, independence. It represents a new life, a new beginning. Some of these women have never had a key to their own place. Some of these women have never been that responsible to have a key. Some of these women have been locked out of their homes from their husbands, from their children, locked out from the home in which they grew up in. So when they're given this key, it represents so much.
I moved in. I think I moved in like on the third floor, and it was a little bitty cubbyhole. Oh my God, it was so small. But I was scared because I was on my own. You know, I had my own little space. I'm like, what am I going to do in here? You know, I was afraid. I really was. But once I got that key in my hand, I knew I was responsible. I had to be responsible for my life and the way that I live.
I was scared to death of coming here because it was the unknown. And I tell you what, I didn't sleep a wink the first night I was here.
This is one of the rooms. This room, of course, has a window. It has a bed. And the bed comes fully furnished with linens and comforters and blankets and dressers, and some of the rooms have small refrigerators in it, closets. It's a nice, safe room.
I had my own room that was already fixed up, but the bed was made. I had towels, and they have a really great room where you can go in and get food, get toiletries, and start feeling normal again, because you know, when you don't have that space, you feel like you're floating around in a lost zone.
This room has pictures of animals all over it, cute little pictures, puppies and kittens. Who doesn't love puppies and kittens, and who doesn't that make you smile? She has a basket, and in that basket she has some stuffed animals hanging out of it. And on her door, there's a little word that says, heavenly. I guess that pretty much describes how she feels about her room.
I had actually been in the program before, and I was always told that I was always have a home at the YWCA, and I don't have any family. My mother has passed, and I called, and I asked the director if she had any availabilities, and she said, come see me. And that's her way of saying, let me look at you. I was stand at the front door talking to the receptionist, and the director walks down, and she said, "So are you home or what?" And I knew I'd be okay.
When I came through the door, I remember looking at the walls being green. I thought, it's dark and gloomy, you know. I'm depressed. What am I going to do? But this place became like a light at the end of the tunnel for me, just to help me find myself.
Of course, when I moved in there, I just put everything in there, what I had. I didn't have much, but what I had, I just put it in there, and I laid down. And just thank God, you know, that I made it. Now what am I going to do?
There are 5 basic rules for them to live here. They have to spend a minimum of 5 nights per week in their room. They have to meet with our social worker and go over goal planning, short and long-term goals. They have to attend a mandatory meeting, or once a month mandatory meeting, and they have to do a budgeting course. Of course, they have to be employed or have some type of verifiable income because there is rent to be paid.
I have not taken care of myself since the age of 15. And now I was 34, learning how to live in a grown-up body with grown-up responsibilities. And you can't take it on all at once. And you literally have to learn how to grow up.
It's hard to figure out, you know, how to live once you always have all that drama and excitement, you know, and just how to get your, how to even be able to talk to somebody to get a job. You have to display some kind of confidence, you know. And I remember just, it's like I come out of my shell.
I was scared, for sure. But I wanted to be successful in living. Not just in life, just living. So I did what was asked of me at the YWCA. Everything that was asked of me. Have a job. Make sure you go to work. Clean your room. I did all that. And I started getting responsible for myself, you know, and I liked it. I like being responsible. I had forgot what being responsible is all about.
Because women have so much choice when they come into this program, they can leave at any time. There's not a set requirement. There's not any type of, you know, we want you here for a 6-month commitment. This is about them making their own choices. When women leave, and we as a staff kind of have doubts, I'm that person, right? So I'm going to tell you, are you sure this is really what you want to do? Have you really thought about it? Sometimes things don't work out for them. And sometimes they come back. Sometimes they end up going back to jail. Sometimes they leave and they get their own housing and they get their children back and they get their husbands back or they get their families back.
I stayed at the Y for 19 months. I could have stayed for 2 years, but I felt like I was ready and it was time to let the space up for somebody else that really needs it.
It's like you're climbing out of a hole that you've built for yourself. It's like you take a step at a time coming out of a big hole, like a well. That's what it's like, though. You're climbing out of your own hole that you've buried yourself in.
Things were just going really well. I felt really strong. I wasn't backsliding. I wasn't having as many nightmares. So once I felt a little, you know, that little bit of spark of I could do this, I could do all of this. And that's when I said, I think I'm ready to go.
What kept me clean was the guilt. I could not deal with the guilt of relapsing with myself, you know. But from there, I started going to school because I had gotten laid off and I got my GED. And I was so happy and proud about that.
I moved out of here and I'm living a little ways away from here. I'm living in the west part of town. And I'm fixing to move into my own place where I will be totally by myself.
I was here for about 13 months, doing what was asking me, getting more information on learning how to live. I finally got a place to live on my own. Got a car, you know, getting very independent. Still was on my job, you know, my family back in my life. Now that was something, that was more than anything that I could ask for.
I'm a woman of integrity today. I'm whole today. You know, a lot of people would look down on me because of my drugs and losing my children. Little by little, it's all coming back to me. I just can't express it. My life is full. You know, people look to me today, which it's like, sometimes it's like, I just don't believe it. You know, it's changed so much.
And the balance in my life has started leveling out. You know, I was aware of what was going on in my life. And I wanted to just scream to everybody, this is what's happening to me. You know, things are changing. I like it.
The Y is my home. I know the YWCA is always a safe place for me. No matter what the world does to me, I know I have a support system here, even today.
So what do I want everybody to know about these women? That they are survivors. That they are fighters. And these are the women I would want on my team.
A Key to My Room, the Women of the YWCA, was conceived and produced by Leslie Snow for WUOT. The executive producer is Matt Schaefer-Powell. Special thanks to Marigail Mullen, Danielle Benson, and all of the women of the YWCA who sat down with us and shared their stories. Our best wishes also go to Annette Beebe, who has recently moved on to new and exciting ventures. To see a photo slideshow and to learn more about the YWCA, go to our website, wuot.org. This is 91.9 FM, WUOT.